Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. And right now we're up to episode 19 of season 7. It is called Genesis. Directed by Gates McFadden, written by Brandon Braga, and it aired back on March 19th, 1994. In this episode, Captain Jean-Luc Picard and Data return to the USS Enterprise to discover the rest of the crew de-evolved into primitive forms of life, including spiders, amphibians, and cavemen. Modi Operandis is here to talk about this one. It's a contentious one. This is one of those episodes that goes either way, I think. What do me and Modi think? We will let you know right after this.
Captain, I have analyzed Nurse Ogawa's embryo. It is unaffected by the virus. I believe I can use her amniotic fluid as a template for a retrovirus. It would neutralize the synthetic T cell and reestablish the genetic patterns of each host.
How soon can you do that?
It will not take long to isolate the appropriate genetic material. I will need to get the sickbay computer back on.
What was that?
It is large, approximately 200 kilograms. It is heavily armored with an exoskeleton. Life signs appear to be Klingon.
Worf.
Well, first of all, everybody, I wanted to say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Modi.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. This is going to be coming out on Christmas morning for all of you.
It's such a good Christmas movie or Christmas episode.
I think it's
perfect. Gather the family around to watch Genesis.
It kind of flies in the face of fundamentalist orthodoxy, I guess, if you want to go too far down into it. But yeah, we're going to be talking about Genesis. Merry Christmas, everybody. This is our second time trying to record this. Hopefully, this will work better than the first time. But let's talk Genesis. Which before we sort of stopped talking last night, we got to the point where you sort of revealed that you don't like this episode. I revealed that I do like this episode.
Oh man, this is by far my most hated episode.
Interesting.
By far.
Because I was doing some Googling, and there's like a Star Trek 101 book, and they gave the worst episode of each series. They called it like the Spock's Brain Award after the original series Spock's Brain episode. And Genesis was the worst episode of TNG, they said.
Yeah, that's what I think.
And I guess, well, let's start with
it's
you
got
about
probs, man. It's
why
got
you
probs.
Don't why you don't like this one.
It is, well, first of all, it's a very season one kind of episode. In the way that it's basically an episode of Twilight Zone, just set on a spaceship.
Yep.
It doesn't necessarily need to be TNG. There's nothing TNG about it, really. The characters don't really add anything to it that any other, you know, Twilight Zone kind of thing would have added, I think. And I don't know what exactly they're trying to do here. Honestly, I don't know I don't know how they arrived at this, got all of the actors on board for this. And actually, like, it's the perfect how did this get made kind of thing. Like, what was going on through people's minds that they came up with this?
See, I like this episode. I don't think it's perfect, and I'll get into some criticisms of it. It's obviously not perfect, but I think that it is. I think it's very effective at what it's trying to do, which is to be sort of a body horror, just horror short. And this is directed by Gates McFadden, which is Dr. Crusher.
Really?
Yeah. This is her only directorial, stint on the show. And I think it's actually directed very well. She does a lot, like even the small scene where Data and Barclay find out that Spot has that place where she's going to give birth and the camera pans down to it. Like, that's a nice shot. The shot of Picard in the elevator where de-evolved Worf is stalking him is a good shot. I think it's well directed.
It has moments, yeah.
And outside of that, I think it's really just a horror episode where I think the kind of the big problem is I think the pacing is a little bit off in it, where
They don't get to the meat of the episode, which is Picard and Data on the ship, very quickly. And the stuff before that, I'm not sure is 100% normal, although it all lays the groundwork. Like, you have to know about Spot, right? You have to know that Barclay went into sick bay for something. You have to, you have to kind of see them falling apart, which is a little bit creepy, like Riker not remembering how to send a security channel and things like that.
But this is, it's the least subtle episode I think I've ever seen, though, the way they do that stuff. It's like, okay, every single person has something going wrong with them, and it's not at all done in a subtle way.
Right.
I feel like. It hits you over the head with it.
No one's really concerned. Like, my wife laughed, and I kind of noticed it too. No one's very concerned about anything in this episode. Like, the crew is not concerned.
We'll get to that later, for sure, yeah.
And when Picard gets on the ship, until he starts exhibiting, like, the fear thing because of his de-evolution.
His lemur fear, yeah.
He's remarkably cool walking into an abandoned ship where people have been torn apart, basically, by animals.
Everyone kind of, like, yeah, we'll get into that towards the end here, but... It's ridiculous. So like I said, it's the least subtle thing I've ever seen. I don't think the Spot stuff is interesting or appropriate or anything like that. Like, from what's going on in the rest of the episode, I mean, I guess it triggers some clue that it's genetic is all it really triggers for Data in the end. It's like, oh, the babies are infected. This must be genes.
Right.
Wait. Okay, yeah, that's what's going on, buddy. Can't you tell what's going on?
Well, the animal triggers the realization that somehow pregnancy
it's a
protects
virus.
You.
Well, yeah, like you because he's like, oh, well, babies are protected from viruses in the womb. So,
right. So we can
know it's true actually for something like this, but
we can cure it.
Okay, no, you can't defend this episode when it cuts to Spot being an iguana at one point with the collar on.
That's actually one of the things I had thought going into this. My criticism was that it sort of went loosey-goosey with the evolution thing. Although Data does have a line that explains what's happening, where. Like, everyone has these sort of introns that are, you know, go back, like, millions or billions of years where you kind of have... You know how they always do that thing where humans share 99% of their genome with chimpanzees and, like, 70% with, like, a lobster or whatever? So what he's saying is that the virus is activating those things that aren't even previous descendants of yourself.
Right. There's stuff from, like, weird branches back in that aren't even part of your thing. Yeah, it doesn't... I feel like this episode came upon because someone stumbled upon some encyclopedia article about introns.
Yes.
Like, I can make an episode about that.
It does feel... It feels like a... I mean, it kind of feels like an excuse to just go crazy with the special effects. I do think the makeup in this episode is excellent.
It is. If you're into the body horror stuff, I could see this being a good episode. If you're into that kind of genre.
Barclay the spider is great.
That was creepy as hell, man. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's the thing. Is like, I don't know how they got the actors to sign on board with these crazy. I mean, is it just a fun little break for them to put on all this crazy makeup and stuff and do something different? Maybe.
Yeah. Probably. I thought everyone did a pretty good job. Like Troy as a frog is very effective.
Oh my God, that was creepy too. Yeah.
It ties into the Picard is not at all phased when he walks into her bathroom and she's drowned in the bathtub and he just pulls her out.
Yeah, no, he's cool. Like that's the thing. It's everyone's so cool about what's going on around him. To the point, we'll get into the end of the episode here. At the end of the episode, they're there's Crusher and Barclay talking about, oh, we should name a disease after you. I'm like, do you realize, several hundred people here probably died? Like, you had the one guy sliced open on the bridge. He can't be an isolated incident. And you guys are completely cavalier about what happened. Troy's like, oh, I guess I'll have to clear my calendar this week for therapy. Like, no, you are going to have to deal with hundreds of people being dead.
Yeah, we've got
the hands
funerals.
Of a science experiment gone wrong kind of thing.
I was thinking that too. I mean, a lot of people must have been eaten. They don't really bring that up at all, but you'd assume that a lot of people have sort of met the end either by Worf or some other means.
Well, yeah, Worf is like the predator here, like he's the pinnacle of hunting here.
Yeah, he's
and
the ultimate.
It's just like, yeah, I don't know. You don't come back from this. This is the kind of episode that you can't come back from it. The Twilight Zone can succeed because every single episode is its own thing. Whereas you don't care if whatever you're proposing destroys the universe because the universe is going to stop existing as soon as the credits roll.
Right
here, everything's hunky-dory next week, and you expect us to, like, be okay with having been a frog for 24 hours? Like, I don't understand how it's ever going to come to terms with that.
It's tying into that. It's kind of weird to me, like, the sort of structure of it is weird. Like, we don't see Data and Picard at the end after they solve the problem, which is weird. You don't see Worf at the end. You don't see a lot of people. You see Dr. Crusher, who is apparently so disfigured that she needed plastic surgery. She seems okay. But that's obviously just because McFadden needs to direct the episode, so they had to get rid of her.
They got her out of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that, A, this is a Brendan Braga script, right? So I think all of your criticisms of the characters are just kind of plug and play. You could take them out or replace them with any cast, and this story would be exactly the same. Makes sense. I think the only person who really makes sense here would be Data, right? Because Data not being frightened is necessary.
Yeah.
Like, he needs to be capable.
He needs somebody that can be the steady hand, yeah.
Right. I thought Patrick Stewart was excellent in this one. Just the thing where Worf is banging on the door and Picard is starting to get scared and he, like, backs away, so he sounds very angry. He sounds very angry.
Yeah, it does have its moments in the acting, I would say. Like, especially Patrick Stewart, he was good, but I don't know. I also was starting to think, like, did they get him off the ship here because, like, Patrick Stewart was like, I'm not doing this shit. Like, I don't want to be a lever. You guys can't make me.
See, there's one thing that season 7 has sort of done, is sort of settled into character stuff. And I really like the idea of Worf being excited about testing the weapons and no one else really giving a shit about it. Which is what happens at the beginning, where he's like, I have personally redesigned the navigation system, whatever. And Picard just wants to take a break so badly to get away from this horrible photon torpedo testing that he wants to go chase a failed torpedo in a shuttle with Data. Any excuse to leave, which kind of ties into our next episode that we're going to talk about too, which is weird. But the Braga thing, like, this is a plug and play episode. It kind of resets itself at the end, and it's interested in, like, a body horror thing, because he also wrote Identity Crisis, where Geordi changes into another creature. And
oh, really?
Yeah. And lastly, the Braga. Oh my god, now I'm gonna lose it. But it's a very Braga episode, I guess, is my point. And it kind of fits that thing as a one-off, where I don't really mind the one-off-y nature of it. And I enjoy it more than I dislike it here. Like, I don't fundamentally have a problem with what goes on in this episode, I guess. Like, would you say that your biggest problem was just kind of the central concept of them turning into a creature? I do hate the fact that they say de-evolve.
Yeah, I think it's just the kind of, like, high concept stuff you'd see in season 1.
Right.
Of like, again, somebody found out about introns, so they want to do an episode about that where everything goes de-evolved. And again, it wouldn't be out of place. If they had more money back then, it wouldn't have been out of place in season 1. Here, it's like there's a lot more nuance that's in the later seasons. Like I said, this is one of the least subtle episodes I think there is, as far as the performances and that kind of thing. It just, you can tell, okay, something's going on, yeah, and then everyone's having these different emotions that they're focusing on. It's like if you gave everybody a single emotion, now you're going to act that. And it's like, it's just not subtle anymore. Like,
right.
There's like, no one's concerned about what's going on with their own bodies. Everyone's like, oh, I just need more water. I need more caviar. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, no, like, something's going on. You would be a little more concerned about what's happening, unless their minds are also devolving, which I guess might be giving it too much credit, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's a very subtle episode. There were some good performances. The body horror makeup and stuff like that was incredible. There were some interesting things that I can never unsee put into this. I don't know. It's like I said, when I first watched this one, I was like, I hope I never have to watch that again for Penske's podcast. Sure enough, you found me.
I pulled them back in. I mean, did you think that did you have any problem with the structure? Like, I think that the meat of this episode, if I wanted more of what I enjoyed about it, I would have had Picard and Data come back sooner. Did you have any sort of thoughts about that? Did you think that the opening went on too long, or did you enjoy seeing them actually start to have problems? Oh, I remembered the other thing I was going to say, too. Sorry, Braga, you did Timescape, right? Which is a Braga episode where they stumble upon the Enterprise and the Romulan warship in Frozen in Time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He has a thing for coming back on the ship adrift, or the ship is somehow creepy. That's like a very Brenna Braga type thing. And I like it. I think it's cool. But
I don't mind that.
What did you think of the sort of pacing of everything and how the structure worked out?
Structure, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think of like how the resolution came of this. And it could have been something more interesting, I feel like.
As opposed to the solution they come up with, like the amniotic fluid.
They kind of arrived at the solution pretty quickly, and not with any kind of real mystery or investigation. They find Spot, and then it gives Data like all of the clues then from that one interaction. Basically, he's got to figure it out at that point.
I totally agree with that scene. Yeah.
If there was more build up where they're investigating this thing and have to still avoid Worf and that kind of thing, like I don't know. Again, it's not subtle, so there might not be any investigation to happen, but
I would have enjoyed that if they spent more time on the ship trying to avoid Worf and trying to avoid everything else that's going on, because I do have a problem with the fact that the solution is basically technobabble, and they sort of just discover it over 3 minutes, but it happens in such a little packet of time that it feels like those scenes are very, very long, where Data has to explain what an intron is. He has to explain what amniotic fluid is. He has to explain, oh, we saw Nurse Ogawa and she was pregnant. We have to go get her. They explain the entire solution to the problem, and it feels very clunky. And I wish that they had spread it out over the episode where Picard and Data, like, why doesn't this feel like this would be the kind of episode where the cold open is Data and Picard coming back?
Yeah, but the problem is they put Picard on a timeline of, oh, you're infected too, and you have 5 hours or whatever.
Sure.
So like they put him on a timeline that he is he can't be expected to stick around. I guess they could get more time, but it just if they had started the episode and just launched us into this of it being this weird and this crazy and had us like figure it out by working backwards what's going on.
Yeah.
The whole first half of the episode where they're slowly de-evolving and you're just gonna have like several different scenes of Worf getting angry in various ways and several different scenes of Riker losing his mind different ways, it just if you avoided all of that, maybe you would get rid of all the stuff I hate about it, which is all the non-subtle stuff they do.
Sure.
And you would have more mystery, you'd have more like unexplained, like this is really freaking weird and I don't know what's going on, and that's the kind of episode I like, where I don't know what's going on. Here it's like, I know what's going on, and waiting for the rest of the cast to catch up to it.
Interesting. Yeah, I think that's a valid criticism. I was just, remember how in Clay always yells at me because I tell him the names of the episodes and he doesn't remember what the episode was. But we did Aquiel, right? And we were talking about how that episode was stupid because you open it thinking Geordi's going to watch these logs and learn a mystery about what's going on.
Right.
And that doesn't happen. They abandon that. Like, that could have been the thing here where the detective work is like they watch a personal log and they see like Worf or Riker acting out a character. And it's that kind of like a thing. I don't know how many of those logs you could watch in an episode before you started getting bored of the whole thing. But
they could do it different ways. I mean, I think that there's something to that of, again, if they had thrown us in here with Picard and Riker, or Picard and Data just coming back, like you do the captain's log, you know, we were testing weapons, or we were headed to retrieve an errant missile, and now we need to return to the ship, and everything's messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you cold open. I mean, that would be a much better episode, and I don't know how you fill the time with it, because again, the resolution came so quickly and easily.
Right.
But you have to just figure out something else. Like, maybe you do have to like figure out what is going on here and why everyone has devolved.
Right.
But then again, you also have the timeline. People are getting killed out there as well. Maybe you have to work on that somehow. Because if you make the episode take longer, you lower the stakes of it, kind of.
Yes, and you kind of run into the problem of apparently the makeup's crew had to work like overtime through the Christmas holiday to get these masks done, and there's really not that many of them. So if you spend more time on the ship, you kind of have to justify why you're not seeing a lot of things.
True.
I guess you could do the typical, like, you could do the, they never do anything like the, sort of Jaws idea where you just don't show the monster for a long time. Like,
true, yeah, they could have done that.
Yeah, there's a way to sort of shoot it from Worf's perspective and you don't reveal him until the very end.
Yeah, and that would be way subtle, and I like that kind of stuff.
Right.
So, yeah.
I would have liked to have seen the Arboretum because apparently everyone is... How did they catch Nurse Ogawa also?
Yeah, right. And what was she involved into, like, by that pie? But she's like a gazelle. You can't catch her. She's a gnat. You have to, like, get a jar to catch her.
Right. She turns into, like, a housefly. And, yeah, they just can't handle it. I'm interested by the fact that, yeah, you sort of think that the structure is kind of a big deal of what's holding on. I think that is true. I just really love the horror aspect of this because they've never done a horror episode. Certainly like this before.
Yeah, it is different. It is different in that regard.
It is, yeah. And it's, you know, I always have fun watching this one. I do like the Picard play, the way he plays being sort of turning into a lemur or whatever, getting scared. I like how Data tells him he's going to turn into a lemur.
pretty matter of fact too. I like that.
Yeah, as Data's like doing testing, he's sort of matter of factly says, you'll probably turn into some kind of marsupial. I think we've talked about Genesis. Let's go to final thoughts and ratings, and we will give our final summation of what we thought of Genesis, which is a very controversial episode, and I think the polling of the episode is going to be showing that. Anyway, see you guys in a couple seconds.
Problem? I have performed 13 diagnostics on the weapons array, and I can find nothing wrong with the guidance system.
I'll throw you on a diagnostic on the torpedo bay itself. Maybe you can find something.
Must you stand so close to me?
Lieutenant, are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine.
No, you're not. You've been working for 6 hours straight. You're tired. Take a break.
But
it's an order, Lieutenant.
All right, Modi. Genesis. Let's give our final thoughts and ratings for this episode, which I very much enjoy, even though I know it's not perfect. I think this is, in my opinion, one of the best episodes of the season. This says more about maybe the quality of season 7 than anything, but I'm going to give this one a 4. I feel like this is an easy episode I could show somebody, and I feel like it has enough sort of like interesting, sort of weird developments going on about it. My wife was enthralled by it sort of in like a kind of like, I can't believe this is happening kind of way. I think that's the appeal of it. And I think McFadden's direction is really good. I wish he had directed every episode that Patrick Stewart had ended up directed because he's not very good. I enjoy this one and it fits into the idea of this is what I think season 7 should be trying to do, which is do weird out of the box episodes. And let me ask you one thing that my wife brought up while we were watching it. I thought it was interesting. Do you prefer episodes that everything takes place on the ship, or do you prefer episodes where they meet some other species and sort of go to planets and visit other places?
Boy, that's a good question. I guess the ship mostly. I don't know.
I think I prefer the ship. I think I like all the episodes that are sort of self-contained to the crew.
Yeah.
I had never thought about that before, but I think it's probably universally true.
The next episode we watch is going to be very much the opposite of that.
It is, yes.
Which is going to be a good matchup here, I guess.
Which is an interesting way to think about it. The next one, for people who don't know, is going to be Firstborn. Stew on that for a little while, but yeah, tell me what you thought. I'm gonna give this one a 4. I enjoy watching this. I think it's goofy as hell, but go ahead.
Unfortunately, we'll need to give this one a 1.
Okay.
And like I said, I cringe at this episode every single time. I'm not that into the body horror stuff. That could be a big part of it, but also I just think that there's problems beyond that. I watched it, it's like, okay, I'm grossed out by some of this stuff here. I'm going to avoid that. I'm not going to judge on those terms. It's not for me.
Sure.
But I could see the appeal for someone that likes that kind of genre. But then I was just judging it based on what was being brought to me story-wise, and it did not like that either. The performances in general were bad.
Mm-hmm.
There were some gems like Patrick Stewart's performance, as you pointed out. I did like his lemur-esque performance.
Yeah.
But a lot of this stuff, it seems like it's just... It's acting subtle when it's not.
Sure.
And yeah.
It is that
one for me, but
one for you. I think the poll on this is going to be one of those episodes. I think this is one of those things people are either going to really like it or people are not going to like it whatsoever. It's always interesting to me when those episodes pop up. A lot of them have like uniformity and some of them don't. It's more interesting that way. The this continues our trend of the farewell tour. So this is the last Barkley appearance.
Oh, good one to go out on, Barkley. Yeah, it's not really a lot of the time.
It's not really a Barkley episode. But
kind of is, though. It's as Barkley of an episode as you get for the most part. I mean, he starts the cold open. He gets a disease named after him.
He's the MacGuffin. I mean, yeah, he sort of like kickstarts everything. Yeah, he's making his final appearance. So we're just doing this thing where all these sort of upcoming episodes are kind of countdowns to final character disappearances.
The cast is getting smaller and smaller as we go.
Yeah, like Wesley's going to be the next episode is his disappearance, and then Firstborn, which is Alexander's last appearance. And I guess that's the nature of coming to an end of things. Everyone starts to make their last appearance. But guys, thank you very much for listening. Modi, thank you for coming on.
No problem.
If you guys enjoyed the content, you're on YouTube, like and comments, appreciate it. If you're on iTunes, a rating or review helps get the show out there. Rate us on all your podcatchers. You can go to facebook.com/ThePenskePodcast. You can go to patreon.com/ThePenskePodcast. You give a couple dollars a month and you get extra content. We just did Highlander. Modi came and did a Rickle in Time, the Rick and Morty episode. We do things like that. It's kind of off topic.
Yeah.
Sometimes Star Trek related, sometimes not. But you can go to patreon.com and find us out there. And also, since we're coming to the end, I wanted to mention that if people want to do like a Q&A for anything that you don't think I've covered, I think I've covered everything in 178 episodes of this. I can't imagine a fresh topic that I hadn't really thought of. Although the point about whether I prefer episodes on the ship or episodes that go places was kind of interesting. But yeah, email thepenskyfilevideo@gmail.com. thepenskyfilevideo@gmail.com. Q&A, any sort of suggestions for how the show should improve once we start DS9, all that stuff. Send me all those things and I'll do a video or a podcast before the end of it, after TNG wraps up, where we answer all these things and go over and try to fix the podcast going forward if there's anything that annoys people. All right, Modi, are you excited for Firstborn?
I am, actually.
All right. In a couple of days, you guys are going to see Modi back again with Firstborn. Until then, have a good one.